Welcome back. I'm Dr. Catherine Messagy, founder at Geode Blockchain and advisor to companies, individuals, and governments alike. And today I want to talk about a little futurescaping. 2028. Elon Musk brought up this idea of macro hard. Such an epic troll. But I need you to notice where this is going. Yes, it's funny. Microsoft, macro hard. It's hilarious, right? Even this concept of we're going to have an AI operating system, we're going to call it Doors instead of Windows, right? And in the hilarity of the troll, do you see where it's going? Because I do, and I want to share that with you. So let's nerd out for a minute on AI and the future of AI, because the human mind tends to look around itself and go, oh, here's where I am today. And you assume that 3 years from now, 5 years now, 10 years from now, even 20 years from now, that your reality, that your external reality will look exactly like it does today. The human brain has a very hard time understanding the evolution of the external reality, which is why, you know, we even look around ourselves today and go, wow, look how everything's changed in the last 2 years, even. A couple years ago, AI was just starting to emerge on the scene after 70 years of effort of it not working out. So nobody really believed it would. It was always 10 years away. And even two years ago, it wasn't all that great at anything. Now, it does an incredible job of assisting programmers. It takes a good programmer and just 100x's them. And there's some amount of vibe coding. What is vibe coding? This is when people who don't know how to program use AI services that are no-code services. You just talk to it and it creates an app for you. And when I say it creates an app, it's creating a back end where the data is handled. It is creating a front end that the user looks at, the user interface or the UI. So we're used to software having these components, a back end and a front end, or that is a back end and a user interface. Why? Because at the moment when you have a piece of software, a human has to look at the UI, right? You need a user interface because a user has to look at it, interpret what's happening, maybe interpret data, you know, read something, think about something, look at something, and you have to interpret it and take action because the user is expected to interpret what's on the screen and take an action like click a button or fill out a form or manipulate that data in some way. And that's where we're at today. Some AIs are getting pretty good at creating simple apps with backends and user interfaces. Then you get Elon Musk coming along and going, I think I could replace Microsoft entirely by an AI. An AI that could create software for you on the fly. The vision is, and then I want to talk about, I see where he's going with this and why it's actually important, and also the effects it's going to have on different industries in a matter of maybe 3 years. So what he's talking about is a vision where your laptop or whatever, your phone, instead of you pull it up and it's iOS or it's Android and there's a bunch of apps on it, it instead, the entire operating system on that device is an AI itself, an AI operating system or an intelligent operating system. And that system would create apps for you on the fly for whatever you need. So instead of you get your operating system from this company, and then there's a bunch of apps in an app store and you download apps according to your needs, right? Other people are making apps and you're buying them or downloading them and using them. Instead, the entire operating system of the device is an AI. And that AI itself is creating software for you to use on the fly. You're not downloading apps from somewhere else. Whoa. It's creating apps for you right then and there according to what you need and what you want. And that means it's evolving them and updating them in real time according to what you want. Now, we're already here as I record this in 2025. We're already here in a place where people are using AI to help them code up apps that are just for themselves, just something that they want to use. I do it. Lots of people do it. People with basic coding skills, and sometimes people with no basic coding skills, are already using AI to vibe code stuff just for themselves. They're obviously using it to vibe code things that they can sell as well. But this idea of, I want a piece of software that does what I want just because I want it. And then, you know, if I like it, maybe I'll sell it. So that's already kind of happening. So I can see that we could actually get to this vision in 3 years. What does this get you? If you can get to the point, and I absolutely believe that we can, where you have an AI operating system. We've already got AI apps. Next move, AI operating system. And I see where you're going with it, Zelon. I see where you're going. This is actually what is going to be necessary to get robotics to the point that it can learn by observation. What? Where the hell did she get that from? Let me explain. And I'm assuming this is why Elon's doing it, among other things. Maybe just got a beef with Microsoft. I don't know. But all good and all underneath that trolling is actually some major ramifications for robotics, for the software industry, for the way we operate every day, and actually even our personal relationships. Let me explain. So first and foremost, if you have an AI operating system, that means it's creating a software for you on the fly. What is it creating? That means it's creating apps. It's creating tools for itself to use. It's creating subordinate AI agents for itself and you to use. Wow. Self-replication. But basically, it can create any tool, any kind of data handling, any kind of process, and any kind of application or subordinate AI agent that is needed. Well, if you can do that, that means if you put that AI operating system on a Tesla robot or other machine, that robot can now learn by observation. It means it can watch you, show it, this is how I like my clothes put away. This is where the shirts go. This is how I like the laundry folded. This is where things go. This is how I like my breakfast cooked. This is how I like this room cleaned, right? And okay, so obviously the first thing I'm getting a robot for is cooking and cleaning. This is the boundaries of our property and how we like the lawn mowed. This is the work that needs done on this tree to trim it out. This is, you know, how you change an oil in the car, right? You can teach it and it can learn on the fly because that AI operating system is going to be taking in the video and the imagery. And have you noticed how AI understanding from video and imagery has gone up? Why do you think that is? Where do you think we're ultimately going? Robotics learning by observation. That's my opinion. And it's one of the important things we can ever have because that is actually what's going to make robotics take off. Really, really take off in a commercial and manufacturing sense for individuals and companies alike. So it can watch you demonstrate something. And then from that, it can create an app for itself to do it that way, right? But you need an AI operating system that can create software and processes and tools on the fly to do that, right? And so what is the input to creating those tools and apps and processes on the fly? Well, it's the user. It's the user saying, this is how I want this done, or this is the app I need, right? So that is going to be, I think, actually the number one biggest thing, and you're going to be surprised because the other things are going to sound bigger, but actually I think this is a huge deal. An AI operating system would allow robotics to learn by watching someone demonstrate. And that will be massive. So that's a really big deal that's going to come out of this. Now, let's take a look at what this is going to do to the software industry. And I know it's hard to believe, because at the moment, someone with no experience coding would have a hard time vibe coding something really complex. But 3 years from now, that will not be the case. 3 years from now, 2028, AIs are going to be quite good at it, right? They're quite good at coding. What they're lacking right now is that actual understanding of what the user wants, understanding intent, which is, in my own experience, the hardest thing for the AI to learn is what are they telling me they want? If it knows and understands what you want, it can make it. But that human interface, it was what needs to get a little bit better. So if it can create you any app on the fly, and if it can have a conversation with you and understand what you want enough to create what you want accurately, and if it can evolve it on the fly, be like, yeah, I like that, but move that over to the bottom left. Yeah, I like this, but give me a graph like this. If it can get to that point, it is, and I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here, but it's the end of paid software. Now, the AI operating system itself might be a paid software, but it's the end of the App Store. It could even be the end of, well, definitely operating systems as we know it, as it could self-replicate its own operating system. It could be making its own updates that you just individually prefer on your device on the fly. Making tools for your device on the fly. Wow. That means you don't need an app store. And here's where it gets really, really interesting. I mean, okay, you can keep the app. You could maybe there's an interchange where it's pulling tools from other places if you want to, but if it could just make it for you, why would you buy it from someone else? That's my point. Now, here's where it gets really, really interesting. I think it's going to be the end of the user interface. And I thought this was coming for a while, but now I'm absolutely sure of it with Elon's concept of macro hard. I'm absolutely certain of it now. I had already thought that, for example, Geode has an AI agent that can help you take action on the Geode portal and eventually on apps and other chains. And it's just a chat interface, right? Just a simple little chat interface. And I had already been convinced that within the next few years, that chat interface would be the entire interface between you and the entire Internet of Chains. Now, with this concept of an AI operating system, I actually see that chat interface, whether it's text or voice, or eventually, God help us, Neuralink, yikes. Let's keep it with text and voice. You chatting with the AI is all there ever needs to be, because it is the AI operating system that will use the apps you created, right? So let's say you make yourself a spreadsheet app. Well, I need a spreadsheet and I need it to have this kind of data, and pull the data from here and to make a spreadsheet that makes sense. And I need it analyzed in a certain way, right? I need valuation spreadsheets. I need, you know, token emission and distribution spreadsheets. I need, you know, business financial spreadsheets. I need just my own personal organize my life spreadsheet, right? Why? Why do you need that? Because you have data that you need to get a grip on. You have data you need to get a grip on. You need to understand. Now, why are you trying to understand that data? Because you're trying to make a decision about what to do next. You're trying to plan. You're trying to summarize. You're trying to graph. Why? Why are you trying to graph? Why do you need graphs on that data? because you're trying to make a decision about something. You're trying to analyze this because you want to understand it so that you can make your next move. Pulling in data, analyzing that data, and recommending next moves. At this point, when you get to the point of the AI operating system that can create that software on the fly, it can also pull in the data to that software on the fly, do the analysis on the fly, and tell you what to do next. Now, should you trust it 100%? That's an issue that we're going to have to figure out when we get there. At the moment, I wouldn't. You would always want to back it up. But my point being, the only reason we have user interfaces is because a human user has to interpret what they're seeing and take an action, like filling out a form or pushing a button. When the AI agent or the AI operating system can do all that for you, you don't need user interfaces anymore. You don't. The AI chat, whether that's text or voice or brainwave control, can do all that for you. So what the AI operating system is actually going to be creating for you are not apps like we think of it today. Because we think of an app today, you open the app and you see something, right? You see a display of some sort. You won't need that. It'll actually just be creating the back ends of these apps, the tools to pull in the data and analyze the data and make recommendations and notice patterns and discuss that. You won't need user interfaces anymore. So it'll really be creating a lot of back end of this. The only time you would need a display is you've asked it to make imagery, video, maybe to entertain you. You'd like to watch it. It's not that it won't ever show you anything, but the concept of an app as a back end and a front end is over. And definitely within the next few years, by 2028, I expect it's over. You don't need a front end. And what's going to happen next with that is, as Peter Diamandis would say, the dematerialization. Because if you don't need user interfaces, you don't need screens. Laptops. Big desktop screens. You should see this setup. Even your phone, right, which is just a big screen, it's going to seem pretty silly. And so I think we will see our devices shrink down to, I think at first it'll be just like the watch, like an Apple Watch type of thing, something maybe you wear on your wrist. But eventually just in an earpiece, right? Just in your headphone. People tried Google Glass. When I was at DARPA, I did the first see-through glasses style display before Google Glass. And Google Glass came along and people didn't really want it. They might be sort of ready by now, but I'm thinking it's going to be more auditory. I'm thinking it's in your headphone. It's in your tiny little Apple AirPod. It's in your, you know, it's in your little headphone that goes, that just sits on there, or your big headphones if you're into those. I think that's probably where you're starting it with. Now, what are the societal implications of this? The societal implications of this are what gets like really interesting. I know everybody wants to move towards voice chat for the AI. I want you to imagine you're sitting in an airplane, you're flying somewhere, and 200 to 400 people in this airplane are all having a conversation simultaneously with their AIs. And the person is sitting right next to you is having a chat with their AI, and that is cross-talking through your microphone with the chat that you're trying to, and it's just a cacophony of people talking. Oh my God. Awful. So we need quiet in public ways on an airplane, in the airport, at the coffee shop, on the bus, wherever. We need quiet ways to interact with our AI operating systems. Whether that's text, right? And that could be as simple as there's a little camera on your headphone that's watching your hands and projecting a keyboard so you can type on it. It could be, you know, gesture-based recognition. I was doing that at DARPA, too, way back in the day. And it could be any of those things. Brainwave interaction, yeah, I know it's coming. You know, if we could do that without cracking people's heads open, that would be so much preferable. Would I get an implant? F no. 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 No, 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 no. And I know I'm going to be the old fart in my 90s. Seems like the last person refuses to get it. No. I see its utility in certain drastic situations, and I hope I am never in those situations. But I can see wearing like a headband or like something that clips in my hair that's reading my brain waves. Okay, that, yeah, I would try that. I would have to try that. So I think this is where it's going. I think our devices, everything from our laptops, no more laptops, no more desktops, no more phone, big phone screens, no more carrying around a Pop-Tart in your pocket. I think it's going to start as like a watch type thing. And then I think it's going to move to it's in your headphone. The AI operating system is fully contained in your headphone. And yeah, we need some hardware updates, but I don't find that really hard to imagine. So that's where I think it's going. So that is the actual implications. Now here's the really, really positive. I see people actually moving back towards actual connection, and real human relationships because of this. Right now we are so preoccupied with screens. Right now, screens are all we see. People take their Pop-Tart phone screen and they think that's reality. And we keep telling them, put the phone down, right? People are walking their dogs staring at their phone. No, be with your dogs. Be in the beautiful day. Be with this walk in this moment. When you get rid of the screens, I think you have an opportunity for people to return to real human connection. And yes, I do believe there is also potential for more loneliness as people get too attached to their AIs, like way too attached, and they start to think that's reality, right? Take the headphone off. This AI operating system is not the reality, right? But as we remove the screens, I think we have an opportunity for people to be more in the moment, to be much more mentally and potentially physically healthy, to be far less stressed. I actually think this is going to go in a super, super positive direction. Now, add into that, let me circle back to the concept of robotics that can learn by watching a demonstration. Because that's the key that's been missing from, let's say, household robotics adoption. It's just that they're just not quite able yet, right? They've been working hard on getting the movement of the humanoid robots down, and they're getting there, and that's going very well. Is it creepy? Yeah, kind of. Would I buy one? Yes, I could. If I could buy a robot that would do my laundry and my cooking and landscaping and car maintenance, heck yeah, I would. And I used to think that there would become a market for apps for your robot, and now I don't think so. I don't think you're going to need that. You know, you're not going to need to like buy a change the oil module. I think it'll create one on the fly, right? And if you can't demonstrate it, if you might be like, well, I don't know how to change the tire, but I want my robot to know, you know, go find a YouTube video and it can learn from that. This is the ultimate implication of an AI operating system. I'm super excited. So I see all of these things, and I don't think it's going to be as slow to come as you think. And I know it's hard to imagine right now that as soon as maybe next year, you are going to watch a robot walking dogs in your neighborhood. And that as soon as 2028, you may have completely given up all of your devices for a headphone that is everything. It does everything for you. It does everything you need. You just talk to it or type to it. So that's where it's going. So mark my words, 2028, 2030 at the worst. These are very, very exciting times. Don't be afraid of it. Let's see where it goes. Yes, there are ethics concerns. Yes, I think we need an AI Bill of Rights. There are copyright concerns. Yes, all of that. And all of that's going to have to be worked out quickly, because here it comes, faster than I think any industry has ever revolutionized. So put your thoughts down below. Tell me what you think. There's a lot to discuss here, but that's kind of where I see it going. And let's turn this into a really positive future. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you on Chain.